The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Father, we just pray for your anointing. For the word, when it's anointed, it wakes us up and sets us free. It's just dry letter. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So come, Holy Spirit, in these moments that I'm going to be sharing, Lord, quicken this word to our heart. Make it alive. Make it, help make a difference in our lives this week. And everybody said, amen. How many of y'all got a Bible? Break your Bibles out to James chapter 5, please. James 5:16. This is the last sermon I'm going to do in this area. I've been teaching for 3 weeks on this. The first time, a couple of weeks ago, I shared a teaching titled, Prevailing in Prayer Over Yourself. Last week, I talked about prevailing in prayer over the powers of darkness. And today, the last time I'm going to teach on this, is prevailing in prayer before God. James 5:16, confess your faults one another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now if you know this study in 1 Kings about Elijah, he's a phenomenal prophet. And he literally prayed, and it rained, stopped, prayed again. But the point was, it wasn't a quick little prayer. It says he earnestly prayed. It literally tells us, I think it's in 1 Kings 18, that he got down his hands and knees and curled up kind of a fetal position and just cried out to the, I mean, he was just straining in prayer. And then he looked up to his servant. He says, what do you see? And he went, I don't see anything. So he prayed. Okay, I see a little cloud coming out about the size of a man's hand on the horizon. So he prayed that cloud to a storm. And his point was, the reason James is saying this, he says, you know, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He had the same problems and struggles. In fact, 1 Kings 19 tells us that he got scared to death of a woman named Jezebel, took off, got full of fear, ran off. You know, he had no problem coming on against the 400 prophets of Baal. But boy, one Jezebel woman scared the whatever out of him. He took off into the wilderness. So he had problems just like you and I. He said, nevertheless, a man of like passions, because he understood the principle of prevailing prayer, that when you pray and you keep praying, something's going to happen. Christ said that. I think it was in Luke 18:1. He said, he gave a parable. He said that men ought always to pray and not faint. The problem with we Americans, we tend to be an instant type people. We don't like to go to a fast. Do you think a restaurant called a slow food restaurant would be very popular? What do they call what? Fast food restaurant. We want it fast. We want everything, you know, I want it. And you get people in line, they start honking the horn. They don't get it out fast enough. But you know, the kingdom of God, unfortunately, is not fast. I mean, anybody that would create an acorn that's going to become an oak tree is obviously in no hurry. Can you hear an amen? God is not in a hurry. He's after quality and not quantity. But there is something about the Lord. The Lord looks at the fervent heart. When there's someone that presses into him, is desperate and really means it, then he hears and responds. And that's the truth. I've found in my life with the Lord that when I'm serious and absolutely desperate, God is all ears to me. But little flighty, half-hearted requests generally do not bring much response. And so we talked about prevailing in prayer over yourself a few weeks ago. That's the first battle. Overcoming yourself, which is really the biggest battle. How many of y'all agree with that? You know, overcoming the flesh. Overcoming, we call it the battle. The biggest battle of all is the battle of the bed. The alarm clock goes off, and suddenly we begin to wrestle with the pillow and wrestle with the blankets. Can we get out of this thing? Finally, give up, and we go back to sleep. Oh, I like this. Well, I'll just pray here in my pillow. How many of y'all know that doesn't work? Or we battle, the second teaching I gave was a power, prevailing in prayer over the powers of darkness. Satan does not want you to pray. When you begin to pray, you know, it's interesting how many how you come under attack when you begin to read the Bible. I've shared that. You know, if you have a problem falling asleep at night, well, you just start studying the Word. I don't know. If there was anything that was going to harass you to put you to sleep, it will. I'm kidding about that. But it's true. Something doesn't want us to read the Bible. Something doesn't want us to pray. And I learned years ago that the key to everything in life is consistency. Did you know that? Did you know if you never quit, you'll ultimately win? Period. I mean, there's these posters, you know, attitude posters or posters that, encourage people. And a lot of them say, you know, it's the one that never quits. Like, you know, Winston Churchill said, he went to a college commencement ceremony. I think it was in the late 40s, the great warrior who helped to bring England in victory over Hitler's forces. And this is a true story. Winston Churchill got up. There's a great crowd there because he was going to be the speaker. And this is recorded truth. He got up behind the pulpit or the podium and he said, never, never, never give up. And then he sat down. That's all he said. And that speech of Churchill's is remembered today. He said he would overcome with blood, sweat, and tears. And I found that's the principle of my life. If I'm consistent, I'm going to win. I don't care what it is. What endeavor, if I start and I don't stop, and nothing's going to keep me from stopping, guess what? I'll ultimately win. That's true in any endeavor. Any endeavor that you do in life. In the world, in finances, in your career, and in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is looking for disciples. He's looking for not, you know, 100-yard dashers. You know, he's not looking for people that just kind of run a short. He's looking for cross-country runners. People just going to start and never stop. Can you amen? How many of y'all out there just determined? You got to lock in, man. You just got to lock in. I'm a soldier for Jesus. I'm sold out to this thing. I don't care if though hell comes against me. Nothing's going to stop me. And Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. But what he meant was those that are just dogged and determined aren't going to give up. And that's the principle with prayer. The point is, I shared this last few weeks, you will never be greater than your prayer life. And that's the truth. Everything starts and commences with our relationship and our communication with the Lord. I've gotten a place with the Lord. I talked about everything, man. I mean everything. I mean every little thing I talked to him about, I lay at his feet. Just driving over here this morning, a couple of things were bugging me in my mind. I said, Lord, I don't need these bugging me. So I put this at your feet. I put this at your feet. And I noticed one thing I was putting at his feet is a little more difficult to leave it there. You know what I'm talking about? Some stuff, no problem. Other things. So I had to say, then I had to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not letting this go. I trust you. I trust you. And I could lay at his feet. You know, I wanted in conclusion to conclude this series on prevailing in prayer. Consider King David, one of my favorite heroes in the Bible. But you know, he had a hard time. Did you know he was unrespected, disrespected, unappreciated as his youth? When the prophet came to find out which one of the boys of son of Jesse would be the king, he brought all of his boys up and none of them turned out to be the king. He said, is this all you got? He said, oh, wait, that's right. I do have one more boy out in the field taking care of the sheep. I mean, you know, I think that David made David feel. They ignored him. His father-in-law was jealous. His father-in-law, Saul, tried to kill him. Judgmentally hated him. His wife, Michael, his first wife, she didn't understand him. She betrayed him to her dad. She lied about him. Some of his very chief helpers, sons of Zariah, were seriously lacking spiritually. He fell into grievous sin, and yet in spite of all of that, look at Acts 13:22. I mean, David had his deals. He had a difficult time with his family, with his marriage, with his in-laws, with his compatriots, and he himself fell into grievous sin. And yet, look at this. I want you to see this. In spite of all of that, look at Acts 13:22. It tells us, and when he had removed him, this is Paul giving a story about the nation of Israel. God raised up unto them David to be their king. This is Acts 13:22, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man what? After my own heart, who will fulfill all my will. Now the thing about David, he may have had all these calamities and problems, but one thing he had going for him, he had a heart of mercy. He had an intimate love relationship with Jesus. He loved to spend time with the Lord. They called him in 2 Samuel 23, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He loved, in fact, most of the psalms in the book of Psalms were written by David. Love songs. He loved to praise the Lord. You ought to do a word count in the book of Psalms, how many of the word praise and singing comes up. David had a heart of intimate prayer, prevailing in prayer. Pressing into the presence of Jehovah. And as a result, love covered the multitude of sins. In spite of all these problems, he was a man after God's own heart. I really believe his secret was his love relationship of praise, worship, and intimacy with the Lord. You know, contemporary history gives us other examples. The last few weeks I've talked about John Knox, John Wesley, and today I want to conclude by talking about really the most famous figure of all, and that was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a Catholic monk that was instrumental to bring about the Reformation. He really didn't bring it about. He was like the catalyst. He was like the straw that broke the camel's back. It had been coming on for years, but really, he was a significant player that shifted the Dark Ages into the time of Reformation. And yet, when you look at Martin Luther's life and you study him, he was intensely human. But he was a man of prayer. Let me give you a quote that Martin Luther had. He said, "If I should neglect prayer but one day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith." In fact, there's another thing they said about Martin Luther was they spoke of him as a man who can have, listen to this, whatever he wishes from God. Believe it or not, Martin Luther had a significant healing and deliverance ministry. It wasn't a predominant thing, but it's the way he did it, because he had such a devotion and commitment to prayer that people would call him and he would pray for the sick, and at times he would cast demons out. But the way he did it is he simply asked God to do it, because he had this intimate thing with God. God did whatever he wanted. Now, would that be a cool place to be in? Isn't there some scripture that says, whatever you ask in faith, believing what? You shall receive. See, that's not talking about some kind of word faith, name it, claim it thing. That's talking about an intimate relationship with God where you not only trust him, but he trusts you. Where whatever you ask, you receive, because you ask according to his will, 1 John 5 says. Not according to the heresy of the word faith is it's all about me, me, me. Ask what I want. It's ask according to his will. Your heart is his. Well, you know, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you what? Well, the desires of your heart is the B part of that verse. The A part is what? Delight yourself in what? When you delight yourself in the Lord, what will the desire of your heart be? The things of the Lord. Luther, let us listen to this, literally spent 3 hours a day in prayer to God. Now you say, well, sure, it was a little bit easier then, less distraction. You know, he was a monk. The point was, his power sprang from his prayer, his intimate prevailing in faith before the Lord. Praise God. Now in conclusion this morning, Hosea 12, turn there, last place we're going to look. Hosea 12. You know where Hosea is? It's right after Daniel. And if you can't find Daniel, find Hosea. Hosea 12. Listen, the one thing I want to communicate to you this morning, more than anything else, listen, is everything flows. Everything in life flows from your intimacy with Jesus. Okay? If you're intimate with the Lord, your heart is the Lord, you want to seek the Lord, you wake up in the morning, the first thought in your mind is, Jesus, it's your day, you're the Lord, I want to walk with you. If that's your heart, listen, everything works. Trust me on this. Everything works. Things flow. Life does this. Now, how many of y'all have it where life doesn't do this? It's just jam up and gets banged up. You know, I really believe we can trace it invariably to an area of self-sufficiency, independent thinking, willfulness, and rebellion. Because when our heart is broken and yielded to the Lord, things work. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and problems, sure, but you can flow over them. I've given the analogy before this. Life is like standing on the ocean with a surfboard. Now you got two things with that surfboard. You go out in the wake, what do you call it? Not the wake, surf. And if you just stand in the surf, what's going to happen if you stand in the surf? Bam, bam, bam. You got to hit by wave after wave after wave. It's going to knock you down. Right? Life, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have things. You know, trust me, all the way to the end of your life, things are going to happen. It's not ever going to get, oh, I'm finally over problems. I'm finally over hassles. Everything's going to work now. Yeah, but just wait till tomorrow, particularly if you have kids. Amen? You'll never get. So what you got to learn is, don't stand in the surf with the surfboard in your hand. Learn to surf. Amen? Learn to get on the board and ride the waves. You know, when you're a good surfer, you like big waves. You look forward to big waves. They're fun. But if you don't know how to surf, you run from big waves. Oh, my God, a big wave. And you run to the shore. But when you know how to surf, oh, man, here comes the big one. I know. I used to surf. Jacksonville, Florida used to go out. We'd go out beyond the breakers, and we'd all be bobbing on the waves, and we'd be waiting for the big one. And you'd ride it in. And it was fun. I wasn't all that good at it. kept getting conked on the head by my board, but let's not talk about that. That happened a few times. But you know what? Let me tell you, there are a few thrills in the world, like finally getting that crest, that curl, and riding that puppy in. Oh, man. I mean, it's totally cool. And you know, that's the Lord Sherman went to us, says that's what life's about. He's trying to teach us to ride the wave. So you're not intimidated by the junk in life. Rather, you say, Lord, it's okay. Let come what may. It's okay. Your Lord, teach me to overcome. The Bible says he that overcomes will inherit all things. The only reason he didn't, when you got saved, you didn't get raptured, is he's hoping you can grow up a little bit. So he can let stuff come at you because there's no growth in heaven. Do you understand there's no growth in heaven? You know why there's no growth in heaven? Because there's no more problems. There's no more tribulation or trials in heaven. Everything's smooth and perfect, so there's no more growth. How do we grow? Problems. Overcoming hassles. Running to Jesus when we were tempted to run to something else. That's how we grow. When you get to heaven, you say, well, I'll just kind of give it up here and get to heaven and go. Sorry, folks. When you die, you freeze. And that's truth. I can prove that in Scripture. When you die, you freeze. Where you die, that's where you are for eternity. This is the proving ground. Amen? This is the time to grow and press into Jesus and learn to overcome, learn to serve. Hosea 12, verse 2. The Lord has a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense. Now he's talking about Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. If you know the story of when Jacob was born, they pulled Esau out first and Jacob's little hand came out and grabbed his brother's heel. And by his strength, he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept, made supplication to him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. As your versions read us, that's a marvelous, incredible, deep, intricate revelation in the Old Testament of God's Trinity right there. That's God saying us. Now, Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long until he broke through. That's a type of prevailing before God. He was all anxious about meeting his brother Esau. See, the night he had the wrestle with the angel, the next day he was reconciled with a guy he had really messed around with, basically stolen stuff from, ran from him for years, found out his brother's coming with 400 guys to, for all he knew, kill him. He's freaking out, said, oh, this is going to kill me, kill my family, stake everything I have. I'm scared. So that night he's out before God, he wrestled with an angel. You know, you do your biggest wrestling the night before, you got to work fellowship out with somebody. You know what I mean? How many of y'all got somebody you kind of wronged or they wronged you and you got to finally face them and deal with an issue you've been running from? You start sweating BBs. You start prevailing before God. That's okay. You got to find the peace in God. I've learned that the things that work out in the natural are first solved in the spiritual. When I wrestle with the angelic or the demonic, when I wrestle with the angels and beat the powers of darkness in the spiritual realm, working out in the natural is no big deal. Because the Bible says we don't wrestle against what? But who do we wrestle against? Powers and principalities and ruler spirits. When you learn who your real enemy is, it's not your brother. We don't love our enemies, but hate God's. And God's enemies are the demons. You learn to wrestle against the powers of darkness, do warfare in the spirit, prepare before God in the spiritual realm, vent your frustration this way, then it's easier to love your enemy and love your neighbor as yourself. How many times there are women that maybe come to Jesus. I've seen this over the years. And they so want their children or their husband or someone to come to the Lord. So they have this campaign to get them saved. They stick Bible tracts in the six-pack of beer. You know, when he opens up the TV guide, Bible tracts fall out. Every time it's time to go to church, he says, well, I am going to church. What are you going to do? Well, you know what that is she's trying to do it herself. You know how that's going to do to a guy? Or I haven't seen it where a guy's trying to lead us do it with a woman. You know how that does? Just pushes him further away. Yeah, I don't want that. You've become a bit self-righteous since you got saved. You know what I've told women, and this really works, our men that are trying to see. I have a booklet out there, What You Can Do to See Someone Change. You can get it. There is something you can do to see other people change. You know what it is? Quit trying to make them change. Stop trying to, that's what Martha did with Mary, trying to get Jesus, would you tell my sister to do this? You know Mary, the last thing she wanted to do was what she felt controlled by. Quit trying to make them change. What you do is you just go in the prayer closet. And there you can vent. and you vent in the spiritual world over the demons that got a hold of them. You vent over the spiritual beings that are in charge. You vent and you fight and you manifesting. Well, let's say you vent your frustrations in the spiritual world against the powers of darkness. Vent it that way. Wear yourself out in the prayer closet in intercession against the powers of darkness until you're completely worn out and you come out. And there's the person you were trying to control. All you can do is just give them coffee and love on them. And we just love on them, and you give them coffee, and you say, honey, would you like a beer? And you love them. Guess what? Then the wife goes off to church, and the husband gets up and looks at the curtain and says, what is with that woman? Something's beginning to go on in his head. Something's different. I don't feel controlled by not whether she's starting to get some wisdom. We're supposed to wrestle against pray the Lord and wrestle against the powers of darkness, not our brothers. Truth is, I'm such a scum, low-life, hell-deserving sinner, but for the grace of God, who have I ever right to tell anybody to do anything? It's just pure grace and mercy. Can earn a man. The only authority I really have in the universe is against Satan. And I can exercise it boldly and passionately. I've been in spiritual warfare battles with the powers of darkness. I literally have felt like one of those mythological beings standing there with one foot in the earth and one foot in the water, you know, and little sunbeams. I mean, that's how it can be. When you're doing war in the spiritual world, Satan's demons flee. But when you're around your brothers and sisters, we're like Clark Kent. So you can be Superman in the spiritual world, but we're to be Clark Kent one with another. Loving, meek. Can I hear an amen? This is wisdom. And that's what Jacob did that night. He wrestled so that when he did face his brother, he fell down. He said, oh, it's so good to see you. And they kissed and embraced. And God worked it out, see, in the spirit, and it fleshed out in the natural. And there was reconciliation. The whole story of Jacob is all about God getting two brothers back together. You know, the Bible started with two brothers who separated. One of them killed one, right? So, right there in Genesis. So it was always God trying to bring people together. Because it's hard is that they love one another. We're all going to have to live together up there in heaven. By the way, there's no bickering on the street of Hallelujah and the Avenue of Glory. Okay, there's no throwing golden bricks at one another, peeling them off the street. That's not going to go on up there. Amen? If you go into heaven, it says some men's sins go before them. If you're saved and you got something against someone, this is true. When you say, it doesn't mean you go to hell. But they're going to stop you at the gate. Okay, come on in. This is celestial glory for all eternity, but there's one issue you never dealt with. Remember that person you've been avoiding for 18 years? Yeah. Well, here they are. Yes, he's sharing the bungalow with you. Deal with it here and now. Can I hear an amen? God often delays answers to your prayer to test your earnestness and the depth of your desire. God will not give you. He's not going to be like that. He says, look, anyway, no big deal to the Lord to give you a dime or 10 million. It's no big deal to God. He can bless the sacks off of you. He can cause you to be in poverty. It's no big deal. All he wants is your heart. I think there's a verse somewhere that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? He'll provide all the other stuff. You know, the truth is, our deepest desires as born-again believers are from God. Listen, when you're born again, God puts in you a desire. And he wants you to birth that. Something in you just wants. Every one of us wants our life to make a difference in this world. You know that when you go to, when you die, people get up in your funeral. And they say, well, this person who passed away, they made a difference in my life. Their life made a difference in many people's lives. We all want that. Can it matter? We don't want to throw our life away. We want something to matter. Well, you know, if you're saved, God's put seeds in you. And if you will birth them through prayer and pressing into Jesus, those seeds will grow and God will begin to manifest a plan and a revelation and a destiny. And you'll fulfill your calling and you can say like Paul at the end of your life, I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. Henceforth there's laid a crown for me. Listen, prayers are not necessarily limited by length. The key is intensity. Some of the greatest responses from the Lord in the Gospels was not someone that did this long prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's all the blind man said. And I love this. Jesus goes and says, and what can I do for you? Heal the eyes. You got it. It was the intensity. You know, throughout the day, call on the Lord in a sentence of intercession. You can do that. You just say, Lord, bless that situation. Somebody comes to your mind. Lord, have mercy on them, heal them. Amen? Just be bringing intercessions to the face of God. You can speak in tongues and sing in tongues. I've found that when you stay in the Spirit, communing with the Lord, putting stuff at His feet, learning to walk, that you walk what I call in divine encounters, and all of a sudden you're just somewhere and something happens sovereign. It's really cool. I got this new business in Primerica dealing with financial matters, and just Friday, praise God, I passed my second exam to be a securities license agent. A lot of work. Well, the next day, yesterday, I'm in line at Kroger's. This is a divine encounter, and we need some extra money. That's the reason I'm doing this part-time, to help people with their finances and investments. Well, I'm standing in line at Kroger's at the, the booth where you have to exchange something. This was the second time I went to Kroger's, because I went the first time to get all this food for the meal, and something wasn't right, so I had to go back. And of course, I didn't want to go back. What a pain. I just was there. So I went back. I'm standing in line, and you know, you ever have to go to the store for your wife, and you come home, you gotta go back. So you're going back to the store again. And I'm standing there in line, I'm thinking, and it's a long line to bring back, there's about 8 people in front of me. So I'm standing there, I could sense the Spirit saying, well, are you in the Spirit or not? And I thought, I'm in the Spirit, okay, Lord. All of a sudden, a lady behind me, listen, let me tell you something. A lady behind me started talking. She's just talking. I'm halfway listening. All of a sudden, she starts telling her friend, blah, 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 yeah, and my husband recently passed away, and I've got this all this money in this 401k at work, but he's got this, I'm going to be getting all this money in about 30 to 60 days, and I don't just know where to invest it. And I thought, the day before I got this, so I thought, oh, ma'am, what's that I hear about? You're going to come into some money in investment? I said, you're going to put in your 401k? Have you ever thought of investing outside? Well, no. So we talked a bit. I said, well, you might consider some investment outside of your company. You know, there's pretty good mutual funds out there and everything. I said, I happen to be in the investment business. I just happen to have a card. And she says, oh, I'll take this and I'll call you. I learned a long time ago, well, that's great, but let me get your phone number and your name and I'll call you. She said, sure. So I wrote it all down. Put it in my wallet. I turned around. I thought, you know, it may be in the next year I'll make $500,000 off that one contact. And I'm saying, okay, forgive me, Lord. I'm glad I came back to the store. You know what I call that? I call that a divine encounter. And you know what? When I develop relationship with people through business, I found I get to talk to them about Jesus. Amen? Develop relationship. Help her. She finds out I'm a pastor. A pastor doing this? Sure, why not? Develop relationship. You know, I told the Lord when I was driving back, I said, Lord, thank you. Teach me to stay in the Spirit for divine encounters. How many of y'all want divine encounters tomorrow? Tomorrow. Today. God's got them. Ephesians says, there's a verse in Ephesians. I love this verse. Listen to this. Chapter 2. In fact, let's look at it. This will be the last place. You've got to see this verse. Ephesians 2:10. Look at this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know that word workmanship there in the Greek is word poemia? It literally means poem. We are God's poem. We are God's refrain. We are God's beautiful rhyming melody. That's what it means. Walking in that which God has before ordained. God already knows where you're going to be tomorrow. He knows where your steps are going to be. The point is, are you going to be where they need to be? Walk in divine encounters. Along the line of poem, let me read you a poem in conclusion. You ready? Don't despise a single minute. Each has 60 seconds in it. If you seize it, you can use it. Do not waste it or abuse it. If you pray, your little minute has eternal value in it. Let's all stand. Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us wisdom in the things of the Spirit. Can you hear an amen to that? Lord, I pray that you would help us to quit wrestling with flesh and blood. You would help us to recognize that our brother, our sister, our co-workers, our family, they're not our enemy, Lord. Even when they wrong us, Lord, Satan is our enemy. Lord, teach us to focus our emotional frustration and wrath against our... And you told us to love our enemies, but you also said, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, that we would have a perfect hatred against your enemies, Lord. Lord, that we would draw a line in the sand, and we would be determined, Lord, to vent the passion and the fire of our life, Lord, legitimately and constructively in the Spirit, to bear fruit in the kingdom, and not wither away and decimate and, Lord Jesus, wear ourselves out in things of the flesh. Lord, I pray for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, the Bible says. With all thy getting, get wisdom. You do not reprove those who ask for wisdom, Lord. I'd like you right now to go to the Lord. Excuse me. And whatever the Holy Spirit has convicted you about, just a moment, as I just go to him and humble yourself to Jesus right now. Whatever the Spirit convicted you as I talk, just let it go, man. Confess to him. Confess to him. May you have been caught up in the flesh and striving and stuff with people. God wants to teach you the wisdom of closing the closet door and spending time with him. I tell you, that's where you recharge your batteries. If you don't have a quiet time in your life where you get up every day and spend time with Jesus, folks, you're missing a vital part. And you'll just be wearing yourself out, like running an engine without oil. You need to put oil in your engine. You need to come and get the oil of the Holy Spirit every day. Come, Lord, bring conviction. Humble yourself to the Lord. Ask mercy and forgiveness. God loves you. Respond to what the Spirit is convicting you about this morning. And he will draw you closer to the things he wants to bring you in. Lord, I pray for divine encounters. We would just walk in that pathway you have ordained for us. Lord, every step where you've carved out our feet will walk in your steps. And you just bless us, Lord. Things will just happen around us. Lord, I'm trying. Thank you, Jesus. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus, I challenge you. All it takes is humbling yourself to him, confessing your wicked, vile, and rebellious ways. Recognize that the just fruit of your life is banishment from him, and to come to him and ask mercy. Plead with him for mercy, and he will be merciful. All he asks is you call him in faith.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.